Hey, Ralph. There we go. And just share my heart a little bit each year as I think about the year to come. I like to give some pastoral thoughts. And I'm excited that we do this service. We started it last year. I love the service personally. I think it's good for us. I think it's cathartic. I think it's good to look at what God's done and look at what God's doing. And also to look forward to what the Lord would have for us. Last year, I didn't really share a message per se. I was really focused on trying to get us to understand why we're doing this and the biblical basis of the Stones of Remembrance and some of the concepts that we're doing. But this year, I just want to share my heart for a few minutes. Don't worry, it won't be very long. But I do want to say to AC, you know, thank you for that message last week. If you were here, it was phenomenal. It was what I needed to hear. I pray that it's a message that you as well needed to hear. And if you have not seen it or heard it, you should do so. What I want to do today is just share three prayer requests that I have for our church in 2025. And I pray that these prayer requests that I'm praying will be something that you also pray for Gospel Life Church in this coming year. I think it'd be great as a church to be praying for these things together and to see what God might do. So the first request that I have for our church that I'm committing to praying this year is that the gospel would invade all areas of our lives. I don't know about you, it's very easy to compartmentalize my life. Men have a special gift in that. But I think we all have a special gift in doing that. We keep the gospel from getting into certain areas of our lives. We think about the gospel in some areas, but in other areas, we don't even want the gospel to go there because we know the implications if it did. I was struck this past week as I was reading through 1 Corinthians, just two passages that came to mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 31, Paul says, "So that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." And then a little bit later, he says in 1 Corinthians 10, 31 through 11, 1, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." What strikes me about both of those passages is the utter gospel-centeredness of Paul in those. His life was centered around the gospel in the Lord Jesus Christ. His boast was to be in the Lord. His drive, as evident in 1 Corinthians 10, is the glory of God in his life. And that is a prayer I have for us as a church, that we would not be a people who think of ourselves as religious because we go to church, and that the only time that we are thinking about the gospel is when our Bible is open or we're singing songs together. No, but that the truths, the realities, the aspects of the gospels would infiltrate our thinking and actions in every area of our lives and how we parent or grandparent or act as a son or a daughter. That our identity would be shaped by who we are in Christ so that we'd live in light of that reality. That we'd shape our understanding of sexuality and gender and pleasure from a biblical perspective. That we'd think of our marriage in light of the gospel, in our relationships, whatever relationships those might be, in light of the gospel. That would handle stress or hardships or victories all through the filter of the cross and what Christ has done. That would see our work every day, Monday through Friday, or whatever days you work, through the lens of the gospel. That we struggle with this is really not a surprise because, in a sense, that's why we have the New Testament. Letters written by apostles to churches that struggled to put the gospel in every area of life. And so they needed to be reminded about the gospel and how the gospel impacts different areas of their lives. I know for myself, this is a prayer that I need. I like too often to separate out different areas of my life and don't think or live in light of the gospel in them. And quite frankly, that's just foolish. It's just foolishness. It's short-sighted, and it only results in guilt, sin, and failure. So my prayer for us is that the gospel would invade all areas of our life. And as I was thinking about it, it's kind of what Paul prayed to the Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, 9 through 10. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's my first prayer request for us in 2025. My second one is something I actually preached a whole message on this past year, but it's something I'm convinced more and more we got to start doing. I don't think we have. I don't think I have. Secondly, that we would ask and expect the great things. That we would ask God for great things and expect great things. We'd be a church that prays, but prays boldly. Asking God to do great things in this body, but really not only asking, but expecting him to do great things. Not because he should through us, but because we know that he can. Do we believe that? I mean, do we believe that? That he can do that? That if our goal is lined up as a church and as individuals to his goal, that why wouldn't he do great things? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power of God at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God is able to do far more abundantly than you ask or even think he can do. I mean, imagine. This is a question that's haunted me all year. Imagine if God decided that he would only accomplish his work based on answering your prayers. What would get done? What would be the result? Would we see a great revival? Would we see people saved and the unthinkable things we just have too many people getting saved in this church. We don't even know what to do with them. Like, we're running out of space because people keep getting saved. I'm sick of filling the baptismal. We're losing money because we keep filling the baptismal and draining the baptismal and draining. Imagine if we prayed, like, would we see things like that? Or would we only see, you know, Aunt Jemima healed and someone, their cold got over? Or so-and-so get out of the hospital, which are great things. Don't miss out what I'm saying. How big is your God? Should we not ask and expect him to do great things? So my prayer as a church is that we'd be asking and expecting great things from God. Would you pray for us this way, 2025? Will you pray as a church this way? So, first prayer request, the gospel would invade all areas of life. Second, they would ask and expect great things from God. And thirdly, that we would be wholeheartedly committed to God's agenda. What's God's agenda? Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Making disciples is God's agenda. He's saving a people from every tribe, tongue, and nation, and people group, and he's using us, the church, to share the gospel with the lost. Then, when the Lord saves them in his grace, he uses the church once again to help these individuals, you and I, to grow in the Lord and have the gospel permeate every area of our lives and more and more and more and more as we grow. That's God's agenda. And my prayer is that we as a body would be fully committed to that agenda, that we would not hold back and fail to encourage people in our lives, in our homes, whether it's a church or work, with whomever, to take that next step in Christ. For some, that means we've got to share the gospel and encourage them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And for others, it means that we would encourage them in areas we know they need to live in and grow in. My prayer is that we'd be wholeheartedly committed to it. I pray that for myself. I know that the prospect of that is actually very terrifying to many of us, if we're honest, because we know things need to change. It's scary. It'll drive us to get out of our comfort zones of how we interact with others. But really, think about it. Why don't we do this? Why do we hold back? You've heard enough, you're going to keep hearing a bunch, about the Vine Study Project, but that was really challenging and good for me because this is an area I think as a church, I believe we need to grow in from top to bottom, from leadership to every member, to every attender in here. I believe it's so vital and so important. We're focusing all our energy outside of Sunday morning on this very topic. I complained and whined the past couple of weeks to get done this project for you all. That's what Keith was highlighting at. They were sick of hearing about it. It's work wherever I am. But that's what you're getting on the way out, is a study guide for this next. We're serious about this. We want you there. So the elders are going to hand it out, some in the back and some in the front that try to escape. Some of you try to escape through the sides. All right, like I get it. You don't want to shake my hand, whatever. But don't today, okay? Shake the elders. They're nicer than I am anyway. So you can shake their hand. But we want you to grab one of these, okay? It's got the notes for the whole year, all the way to May. And we want you to be part of it. I drove Abigail nuts to get this done. At 10 o'clock this morning, okay? Because I feel it is so, so important. We're going to bribe you with Chick-fil-A. It's a Christian thing to do. Listen, we're all busy, but we all make time for things that we think are important. And so we're going to do everything we can on our part. We're going to record the sessions because sometimes life gets in the way. I understand that. So we're going to make sure that you have them available and recorded for the weeks that you can't make it. We're going to change a growth group in particular so that you, if you didn't make growth group that past week, you can attend this one. It's after all the other growth groups. That way you get a chance to just get to the material that you missed. It'll be on a Sunday evening. One of the things that we're going to ask you to do is to get out of your comfort zone is partner up with someone for 15 minutes a month. Did you catch how much that was? Some of you watched the Steelers for at least 15 minutes. Last night, that's about all you wanted to watch. You got a gist of what was going down. 15 minutes a month to partner up. It's all in there. And work through in discipleship together. We're actually going to change when you do the snack time. All right, we're doing it a little bit differently. We're going to create a space. Because for some of you, it is hard to get 15 minutes. But you can get here maybe at 10 o'clock. Or at the end of CLC and spend 15 minutes with that partner. We're going to have tables that make sure you can't get anyone else on that table, just two people. And you can go through and spend those 15 minutes together. We're going to try to make it look as best as we can, make the Hershey building. I mean, we guess we could ask great things of God and see what he does over there. But, we're going to do that over there because we're committed to this as a leadership because we believe that this is what God has for us as a church. And you ask these men to sacrifice a lot of time and energy to think about what do we need as a church, and we're saying this is what we need as a church. So we're all in and committed to it. If there's something like driving at night that's difficult for you, let us know. We'll come get you. I guarantee. We'll have a new service, the taxi service of GLC. And we'll make sure that and I get it, driving at night is not, I'm like, this is ridiculous. I get it now. Why does everybody have bright lights on their cars? Like, I understand it as much as I can. Well, we'll get some people to pick you up because we feel it's that important to be at for this time. We want to see our body get on board with God's agenda and be challenged about making disciples. And I'm convinced that if we did this as a church and committed to studying and putting into practice the things that we're studying, we're going to see some of those great things of God that we're praying about. take place. So you're going to pray with me this year, these three requests? That the gospel would invade every area of our life, that we would ask and expect great things, and that we'll be wholeheartedly committed to God's agenda? Let's pray. Father, this is our request. Lord, that we would be a people where the gospel invades each area. That we would be a people who expect great things from you and ask for great things for you, not for our glory, not for our ambitions, but for your great name and your glory. And Lord, work in our hearts through the Spirit to adjust, to change, to show us where we need to change, how we need to make your agenda the center of our agenda, and to put our ambitions aside, these worldly ambitions that I have, these worldly ambitions that we have, and get really focused on your glory in all life, in all things. Guide us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.